Now it is. Okay. Proverbs 15. Proverbs 15 and verse number 12. Proverbs 15 and verse number 12. The Bible says this. A scorner loveth not one that reproveth him, neither will he go unto the wise. Our Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day you've given us. Thank you for your precious and holy word. Lord, draw us nigh to thee tonight, we pray. Things are really moving at a fast clip today. And Lord, we need to be grounded, and Lord, we need to be focused upon thee. Lord, help us to do so, and guide and direct us, Lord, tonight out of thy word. We ask these things in the Lord Jesus' name, and please, for his sake, amen. Amen. And I want to encourage you again tonight. I'm not saying that you're not doing it, but I just want to encourage you to stay in your Bible. Stay in your Bible. You don't have the ability in yourself to win these battles without that. You just don't. Don't kid yourself. You do not have the ability within yourself to remain uninfluenced by this world unless you're spending your time in the Word of God, absorbing yourself with it. I mean, you don't have that ability with it. I mean, the Lord abides in you, I know that, but you've got to renew yourself. The Bible says your mind needs to be transformed, the renewing of your mind. You need to be transformed by the renewing of your mind daily. Daily. All right, brethren, tonight, Proverbs 15, verse 12, the Bible says this, a scorner loveth not one that reproveth him. All right. A scorner loveth not one that reproveth him. Well, the word scorner is defined as this. It means a scoffer. It means a derider. In Scripture, it's one who scoffs at religion, its ordinances and teachers, and who makes a mock of sin and the judgments and threatenings of God against sinners. In other words, a scorner is someone who says, get out of here. Come on. Don't scare me with that stuff. Don't put that God, heaven, hell stuff on me and, get out of here. That's a scorner. That's a scorner mainly. But brethren, when we look at what the Bible says, you're going to find, I believe, tonight, that a lot of folks, a lot of professing Christians, by their actions, cause themselves, by the definition of scorner according to the Bible, cause themselves to be labeled scorner. Really? Alright? I got a prayer letter from Brother Jason Hines. And Brother Jason sit up there in Canada, where he deals with the French folks. That he said he's dealt with folks in different places. He said and he said, but he's never seen a crowd like that. Where he had, I guess they're having a during I guess their version of carnival up there. You know the what do you call it, man? Fat Tuesday, Mardi Gras, that kind of thing. And said they were getting tracks out, and they literally doubled over, busting a gut laughing. Not just one person. He said the idea of the track was entitled Eternal Life's Free Gift, and they said the idea of them that it's a free gift was just like hilarious to them. Just hilarious. You know, so steeped in Roman Catholicism and stuff up there. All right, but brethren, so you know, we all know what a scorner is, but you know, brethren, I think we're going to find tonight that many times professing Christians can be labeled scorners according to the Bible definition. And I want to ask you tonight, are you a scorner? Are you a scorner? Do you scorn God and the things of God? You say, really, you probably first of all said, brother, no. I'm not a scorner. Well, let's see what the Bible says here. Look what it says in verse 12. A scorner loveth not one that reproveth him. Wow. Are you a scorner? Well, what's your attitude towards somebody that reproves you? And the Bible says a scorner doesn't love someone that reproves him. And you know what, brethren? That being the case, we all have the tendency to be a scorner. We all have the potential to be a scorner. Because you know what, brethren? So often, unless we're where we ought to be with God, we can be resentful of reproof. Now, I want to delve a little bit tonight also in how to give a reproof. A lot of times, folks don't maybe kick against the reproof as much as they do the attitude the reproof comes with. You know, it should be a right attitude. But you need to also pull yourself aside and say, well, the attitude absolutely stunk, but was the reproof right? And if it was right, we need to deal with it accordingly. All right? But brother, you know, listen, none of us like to be reproved. We don't like it. We don't like it. But a scorner, the Bible says, doesn't love one that reproves him. But how can you do that? How can you love somebody that reproves you? I'm going to tell you right now tonight, the only way you can do it is to be absorbed in your in fellowship with God. And I will give you an example tonight of a man who did love someone who reproved him and did have the right to toward a reproof. We'll see him later on and as we go through this. But brother, you can't do that unless you're absorbed with God. Unless you are trying to walk with God and to be well-pleasing to Him, you can't do it. You're not going to you can't take and have that right attitude unless you're, listen, absorbed and consumed with your God. Now listen, the Bible says, a corner loveth not one that reproveth him. The word reprove means, the word reproved is defined as this, means to blame, to censure, to charge with a fault to the face, to convince of a fault, or to make it manifest. You know, reproof is brother, sister, neighbor, friend, whoever, that's not right. That's not right. Now, brethren, reproof has a firmness to it, but there's a right attitude it can be done with. But a reproof is hey, it's like, this ain't, listen, I love you, this ain't right. I love you, but this is not right. And brethren, we don't like to get that. And most of the time, brethren, let me tell you something. I think something's got to be a little kind of cockeyed with you almost if you enjoy going around doing that. You know, if you enjoy that, I mean, but we often have to do it. Alright? Often have to do it. And it's got to be done the right way. Now, I want to give you tonight some, I want to give you a couple of examples of reprovers. A couple of examples of reprovers. I want to ask yourself, do you love these reprovers? You love them. The first reprover I want to look at is the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. Go to John 16. He's a reprover. You know what? If you're saved tonight, let me tell you what happened. He reproved you. And you know what you did? You didn't resent it. That's why you got saved. You didn't resent it. You humbled yourself down and you said, that is true. That is true. That is me. You humbled down and you accepted it. You didn't kick against Him. All right? Look here. John 16, verse number 7. The Bible says this. Nevertheless, I tell you, this is Jesus speaking. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. And when He has come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And that's what He did when you got saved. He reproved you of sin, righteousness, and judgment. You got a reproof about your condition, about what you were, about God's holy demand, about God's holiness, His demand for righteousness, the punishment for that, and what you were. He reproved us of that. That's the reason, brethren, look here. I'll tell you something, brethren. I just have a hard time putting stock into a salvation that a person doesn't know that they got. And I'm not talking about feelings, but I am talking about that the Holy Ghost puts on you a reproof, and you sense that burden and load of sin, and when you get saved, it's gone. Wouldn't that be something for the Holy Ghost to put you under conviction and put you under a reproof and then not give you no release from it? That'd be kind of rough, wouldn't it? No, brother, look here. He reproves you of that thing. When you humble yourself down and accept God's salvation, the burden's gone. It's lifted. And you know it. You know it. But there's got to be a knowing of salvation. Not just a mere mental assent or an understanding, but a knowing by the fact that the new birth has taken place, that a spiritual life has been imparted to you. I just have a hard time accepting the fact that something as wonderful as God coming to indwell you and you would be ignorant of it. I mean, you want to know that, all right? I mean, you want to know that. All right, the Holy Spirit. He's a reprover. Now, that's mainly He's a reprover in the context of this to the world of the lost. But you know, so brethren, I tell you something. Once we're saved, I believe He reproves us, convicts us. You know, and if we're honest, you know what we do? We'll accept it and not kick against it. I said, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Show me. Show me what I am. Show me what I am, Lord. Thank you. I need that. The pastor can be a reprover. Take your Bible, go to 2 Timothy 4. It's an amazing thing. You know, brethren, I just felt led the last couple of years and everything, you know, to go kind of verse by verse and preach and teach through the Bible here. Let's just get Bible. Every now and then, like Sunday night, I believe God will direct me maybe a different way or such as that. But brethren, you know something? It amazes me that here we are going verse by verse through Scripture. Going verse by verse through Scripture, and yet it's wild the things that God will touch on and hit on, and it just blows my mind how that kind of thing happens. It just to me, it's just mind-boggling. It really is. All right? And 2 Timothy 4, verse 1 says this, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom. Now, Paul's charging Timothy, preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove. Rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. So, you know, Paul's charging Timothy, as a young preacher, to reprove based on the authority of the Word of God. So, you know, a reproof will come. Brethren, look here. Listen. When you get a reproof from your pastor or through the preaching and teaching of the Word of God, don't kick against it. Don't let the devil get in your mind and say, you know, I think he's gunning for me. Listen. The first thing you need to do is ask yourself. Not, is he gunning for me? Is it true? Is what you got to ask yourself. Is it true? Is it true? Well, what if he is? Well, you get it settled if it's true or not, and God will take care of that. God will take care of that. If the attitude's not right, God will take care of that. What you've got to ask yourself, is it true? Is it true? And love somebody for it. Love them for it. I mean, love them for it. For listen, you know why? Because honestly, look here. Because brethren, it's for your good in eternity. It's for your good in eternity to take the reproof of the Word of God and let it work itself in your life. Amen. Honestly, it's for your good. Maybe not here. Well, it is good here for you. Well, so you might feel like it's good here, but for eternity, brethren, for eternity, accept it. Except realize it's done. Realize it. Listen, Ben, the Bible says, I mean, come on, folks. Now listen. You're reading your Bible, aren't you? Sure that you're reading your Bible. And in your Bible reading, don't you run across those verses, faithful the wounds of a friend, or the kisses of an enemy, or deceitful?
Right.
You know, open rebuke is better than secret love. Well, then, you know, then if that happens to you, say, praise God. Praise God. Let me have the, you know what, brother? Say, God develop in me the character to accept reproof when I get it. And let it make me better.
Right.
Let it make me better. Let me tell you something, brethren. We're going to see an example of a man tonight. Well, I'm going to tell you about David. My goodness, what a man. Yeah, David really got himself in a mess. He was the king. You know, there's examples in the Bible when prophets would come to reprove the king by the Word of God. They would lash out at that prophet. Many times put him in prison and such as that. Nathan, the prophet, came to David. You know the story. Boy, how he got him. And David said, he'll be put to death. Bring that man. Put him to death. Nathan said, thou art the man. You're the one, David. And David humbled himself and said, I've sinned against the Lord. You know, there's a possible chance that he honored Nathan. And we know that one of David's sons' name was Nathan. And some feel that there's a good chance he honored that prophet by naming his son that. But we do know one of his sons was named Nathan, and it could very well be. We do know that he did not resent Nathan for that. That's for sure. We see Nathan involved in David's life even at the very end when Solomon is to become king. David took it. He took it. And I mean, brethren, he was caught and had, and Nathan said, thou art the man. Wow. That's the king. He could have done anything done to Nathan that he wanted to do. Like had been done in the past, if God had allowed it. You know, many times prophets would rebuke kings, they suffered for it later on. But he took it. Brethren, we need to take it. Well, I just don't think I think the person, they just wanted to do it. They enjoyed it. So they're trying to get me. Is it true, though? Is it true? If their attitude is wrong in what they're doing, God will take care of that. Is it true? Let me tell you what not. Let me tell you how to receive a reproof also. Okay. Let's suppose you get a reproof. Don't do this deal. Well, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that stuff. You know, don't take, well, you know, your own life. You got your own. No, don't do that. Don't do that stuff. Take it. Take it. Don't sit there and try to, you know, you say, Brother Doss, what if somebody gives a reproof and they get an arrogant attitude and, oh, it ain't going to last long. You understand, God hates pride and arrogancy. God hates that. He will deal with that. You know something? You humble yourself, He'll exalt you. You lift yourself up, He'll abase you. That is all there is to it. The Lord Jesus Christ said, He that humbleth himself shall be exalted. He that exalteth himself shall be abased. You know, me and Brother Baker was talking this week, and we was talking about, you know, he mentioned how the disciples, you know, they could take a rebuke. That's one thing. I mean, and Peter. I mean, can you imagine? Who do men say that I am? Well, some say you're Jeremiah, or some say you're one of the prophets. Well, who do you say that I am? Thou art the Christ, Son of the living God. Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. Flesh and blood have not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. That was Peter. Amen. That's good. Brother, a few verses over. Lord, this shall get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art a offense unto me. Lord, I was blessed, and you couldn't done that a little, you called me Satan. That's right. Think about that a minute. You say, well, Brother Doss, why did the Lord? I want you to understand something. Minute. Do you understand what the devil was trying to do to Jesus? He was trying to do everything he could to get him away from that cross. And he was trying to dissuade him and swerve him from the very purpose he came for. And the devil is such a master at manipulation. Master. He used Peter's natural love for the Lord. Peter's love was on a natural plane. All right? He loved Jesus, ain't no doubt. And so, but he didn't understand that Christ had to go to the cross. So the Lord's telling him that, no, Lord, this should not be under thee. Jesus saw what was going on. The devil was manipulating Peter. So listen, he had to deal with it quick. I believe, brother, not so much not only for Peter, but to nip that attack in the bud. But you know what? Hats off to Peter, man. No joke. He took it. You don't see Peter going, I'm going back fishing. I don't need this. I don't need this stuff. Go and lift somebody up, and then you go and call him Satan. You call me Satan in front of everybody, my brother and all everybody else, and you did that. And he just took it. Think about that, man. Think about the character that man had. Think about it. It is something. Think about the character that man had. He took that. You know, most people's heart. He took a lot of stuff. But you know, I mean, think about it. You know, Peter's personality got him in that. You know, Lord, if it be thou, bid me walk on the water. So, you know, and then, you know, and there he starts taking the Bible, just sinks. You know, Jesus reaches out and says, oh, thou little faith, wherefore did thou doubt? You know, and so, you know, Lord, I'll go with you. Peter, you're going to die me three times before the night's up. Before God will try, you're going to die me three times. Bless his heart. But, you know, he didn't quit. Peter did not quit. He didn't quit. James and John. Lord, you want us to call down fire from heaven and destroy? You know what manner of spirit you are. Because of my rebuke. Hey, did you know the Lord gave a mild reproof to John the Baptist? Brother, read the story. John the Baptist is there in prison. And he says, art thou he that should come? But look we for another. Here's John, his priest. Behold the Lamb of God. Take with him. He has been the forerunner, preparing the way. But evidently things ain't falling out like John thought this was going to fall out. John knew he must decrease and Christ must increase, but he's in prison now. And Christ ain't bringing the kingdom in. And he's not, and what's going on? So, hey, he gets to thinking in there, and he says, he sent word, art thou he that should come, or look we for another? And let me tell you why it's important you read your Bible. You don't see Jesus saying, tell John, I am, I'm the one, I'm the one. He don't say that. He tell John what you see. The deaf here, the lame walk, the poor here. He that's Isaiah. He takes John back to Scripture. So John, in other words, he's saying to John, what's Messiah supposed to do, John? You know the Scripture, John. What's Messiah supposed to do, John? By the Scripture, you tell me whether I'm Messiah or not. In other words, he took John back to the book for assurance. He did. And then, also tell him, and blessed is he whosoever is not offended in me. Do you see what I believe is going on there a little bit? Blessed is he whosoever is not offended in me. I believe the Lord saw a little bit beyond. I believe the Lord saw also what was maybe going on here. But also, what do you mean a little bit of what was going on? The Lord knew evidently John was a little bit offended there. But also, what do you mean? Come on now. John's flesh. John was the man. You understand me? John was the man. John was the one. John was the one out there getting the job done. The crowds were coming, and he was putting it to them and didn't compromise. And he knew Christ must increase and he must decrease. But I'm going to tell you something, brethren. It's one thing to know my attitude ought to be this, and it's another for God to... Come on now. You will tell me, don't you often know how your attitude's supposed to be? But oh, how... Sure. Read the account. I challenge you. Read the accounts in the Gospels and see if you can't see what I'm showing you here. Read the account. Take the whole thing. And you see, Jesus, blessed is he who's not offended in me. John, you've fulfilled your course. Now, John, don't get offended because now the crowds are coming to Christ and John's now in prison. And I believe John went out right. And praise God, he didn't sit there and sulk. He got word to the Lord. And that is a little mild reproof. Kind of reminds me of Joshua that time. My Lord Moses forbid them. They're prophesying in the camp. Joshua, are you envying for my sake? Ouch. Again, think about it. Joshua is Moses' right-hand man. Man, Joshua gets up there with Moses in the mount. Joshua's there, man. Joshua has a close connection with Moses and the Lord. And he's Moses' right-hand man. The Bible says he is Moses' minister. But now some other guys are getting filled with God and doing some things. And my Lord, Moses forbidden. Oh, we can get so righteous, man. We can get so righteous. It is, brother, brother, honestly, God has to, the God's grace in putting up with us. You can't ever wonder if he didn't shake his hand. Brethren, we can get so righteous when we're a little envious or a little put out. Brethren, it's amazing how sometimes people can bring up responsible situations. And brother, I think we need to, I think we need to, why they're doing that many times? It's envy. Maybe somebody's getting the limelight. Maybe somebody's ideas are being accepted. Maybe somebody's getting a... You know what I'm saying? You never know. Brother, I think... You think we're proceeding a little too fast in this? You think we're... But a lot of times that's not real concern. What that mask is, I'm not having attention lately. Now, be always honest with yourself, brother. Because we are susceptible to this stuff. All right? But what I'm saying to you is, John could take a reproof. The apostles could take a reproof. Brethren, we need to have the character to be able to take a reproof. That makes me... Man, show your character. Show your character. Show your character. Stick in there. God forbid, brethren. God forbid that we let something like, I ain't going to take that. I ain't going to take... You're going to be the one to miss out. And you're going to be the one to miss out. Honestly, you will be. Listen, brethren. I've mentioned this story before, but it's sad, brethren, that a lost professional football player could show more character than a Bible-believing Christian. See, what are you talking about? I'm talking about that Vince Lombardi, who was a lost football coach, lost, brethren, lost. to read anything about him, that man didn't. He was lost. Vince Lombardi. He was a devout Catholic man. He'd go to mass all that. He was lost. All right. But Vince Lombardi had a rule. You played for the Packers, buddy. You didn't go into a bar. If you were at a restaurant and there was a bar, you didn't sit down at the bar. You didn't do it. Even if you were drinking water, you didn't do it. One of his favorite players was Paul Hornung. We called him the Golden Boy. He was a running back. Lombardi walks in a restaurant. There is Hornung sitting at the bar. Had a glass there. Lombardi, in public, get out of here now. You are fined $500. Get out. And this is a grown man now. This is a grown man. All right. He's a grown man in college boy no more. He's a grown man. All right, you know. And you know what he did? He tucked that head, walked out. Everything, like, paid the fine and never told the coach that all he had was orange juice. That's a lost professional football player. I mean, he's lost for one, number one. Number two, what is that going to do in eternity? I don't know how many touchdowns he scored. You know what I'm saying? Look at that. But he's a lost. And look at that. But he showed character. He took it. What did he took a reproof. Man, he took a rebuke. That's what he took. But he took it. Brethren, God help that. God help that we show the same kind of character. All right. I said the Holy Spirit, your pastor. Another person can give you a reproof. Go to Genesis 21. Genesis 21, verse 25. Abraham and Abimelech are having a little controversy, and they're getting things taken care of. Look at Genesis 21, verse 25. And Abraham said, I will swear, verse 24 and 25, Abraham said, I will swear, verse 25, and Abraham reproved Abimelech because of a well of water which Abimelech's servants had violently taken away. And Abimelech said, I wot not who have done this thing, neither didst thou tell me, neither yet heard I of it but today. You know what had happened? Abimelech's servants had the Bible says right here, had violently taken away one of Abraham's wells of water, well of water. And when they come together, Abraham reproved Abimelech over it. Abimelech said, well, I hadn't heard anything about it. So, you know, they get it dealt with. But he reproved him. And Abimelech took it. Now, he explained, well, Abraham, I got you. I didn't know anything about it. But, you know, they get it took care of. But Abraham reproved him. Brethren, take a reproof. Take a reproof. And if it's not done in the right spirit, understand, brethren, that the hair on the back of the Bible starts standing up on you, the hair on the back of the neck, and your ears start turning red, and you get upset, but take it. And let God, if the attitude isn't right, let God deal with that. But you ask yourself, is what the person reproving me over true? Is it really true? And if it is, do something about it. Go back to Proverbs 15 a minute. Proverbs 15. Look at this. It says, verse 12, a scorner loveth not one that reproveth him. So, I want to ask, are you a scorner? If someone reproves you, do you love them for it? Especially if you know deep down they're doing it because they love you. Do you love them back for it? Do you love them back for it? Let me tell you something. If you're saved and you don't love someone that reproves you, the Bible says you're a scorner. But you know what else you are? You're immature. See, but that's what I mean, I'm immature. I'll explain it to you. When I was younger, and I would get a reproof or rebuke from my parents, I just thought they just arbitrarily did what they wanted to do because they had the power to do it. The older I got, the more I realized they did things and reproved me, rebuked me, and such did because they loved me. See, as I matured, I realized that a reproof and a rebuke from my parents was because they loved me. I realized a reproof and a rebuke from other people was because they cared about me. I didn't see it as a child. Guess what? You're an immature believer if you don't understand that somebody who reproves you often does it because they love you. They care about you. That's a mark of immaturity. All right, look here. It says, verse 12, a scorner loveth not one that reproveth him, neither will he go unto the wise. Man, he won't go to the wise. He stay away. Stay away. I don't want it. He won't go to that. It's a scorner. He don't want it. Let me explain something to you, brother. You can get counsel anywhere to justify what you want to justify. That is so easy to do. There's always going to be people that will back up your opinion.
Right.
This is always going to happen. You can go anywhere to get the attaboys and the yeah, you're right. You can get it. You can get it. Ain't no problem. What you want to get is the truth. And if you know that you can go someplace and someone will give you that, then you need to go there to get it. Not just to have what you already feel affirmed. You know, that's easy to do. You can find that. When you find somebody and get it affirmed, and you're like, well, you know, I got counsel, you know, and this person agrees with me, this person agrees with me. Yeah. But what kind of counsel did you seek? And is it godly counsel? Is it scriptural? Does it line up with the book? Is it a person that has your spiritual interest in? Well, let me tell you something. By the way, brethren, if you got a problem with anybody in church, and I love you, but you're a fool if you go to somebody at work on the job that don't even know God and talk to them about a problem that has to do with spiritual matters. You're crazy.
Right.
And you're kidding yourself. Because you know what you're doing? You know what they're going to do? What do you think they're going to do? Of course they're going to say, you know what? If you're looking at it carnal, how do you expect they're going to look at it? And they're going to say, yeah, I know what you're... They do that to you? Man. I can't believe that. Man, I can't believe that. Let them know what you're doing. You're discussing a spiritual matter with a lost person.
Right.
You can't do that. They don't have a clue. And you know what they're going to do? They're going to agree with you. Because you're wanting to be carnal. That's all they are, is carnal. So they're going to back you up. Who's going to get hurt? You. You. Be careful, but make sure you seek counsel from the Word of God and from truth and from a place that will give you the truth, not just what you want to hear. All right, look here. Go to John 3 just a minute. Let's look at it as far as salvation. John 3. Brethren, I found that with matters in my life, I found through the years, brethren, that I got to really stop and pause before I go and seek counsel. Now, the Bible speaks in Proverbs about seeking counsel. That's fine. Brethren, you just don't seek counsel anywhere. Because you know what? I know there's some people tell me just what I want to hear. And I know some people will tell me, well, I don't want to hear just to say that. Just to, I mean, you know what I'm saying? But what you don't, for whatever reason, you want to get unbiased. Let me tell you something. You need to pray and ask God to give you discernment. Because there are people out there that once you ask them counsel, they now feel like you've given them power. Okay? You've now given them power, and they will hold that over you. Have you ever noticed that when you can, have you ever had somebody confide, listen, have you ever had somebody confide in you, and then the next day or the next week they avoid you like the plague? What happened was they opened up. And now they realize they opened up, and they feel vulnerable. And they don't know what you're going to do with that. Because you know, in a weak moment, they feel like they opened up, and now they've let you in. You know, listen, when you confide in somebody, man, you've opened up. And now it's kind of like they feel, well, what are they going to do with that? You know, or I've given them a part of me, you know, and they kind of shy from that, all right? But sometimes people take that, and they will use that as a power play. Some people, once you confide in them, ask them for counsel, they will feel like now they have the go-ahead to micromanage your life. Don't seek counsel from such a person like that. Okay? I didn't say don't seek counsel. I said have discernment with where you seek it from. Because I will set yourself up. Alright? Now, let's go on here a minute. John 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be what? Reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, the disease may be manifest that they're wrought in God. There you go. The scorner won't go to the wise. And you know why they won't come to the Lord? Because their deeds get reproved. The Holy Ghost reproves their... Remember, he come to reprove the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment? The Holy Ghost reproves there of their sin. And they don't want none of it. They don't want it. They don't want to deal with it. They don't want to face it. They want heaven. They just don't want to quit their sin. Or they don't want to acknowledge their sin. They don't want to come clean before God and admit, this is what I am. This is what I've done. They don't want to do that. They want heaven, but they want it on their terms without having their sin dealt with. But that's the reason. Look here, brother. That's the reason why, brother. You know, anything having to do with salvation that doesn't deal with a person's sins missing the mark. Everybody wants heaven, and everybody knows about the gospel. For the most, you know what I'm saying. So many people today hear about Jesus, but brother, they don't want to deal with their sin. They don't want to deal with their sin. I had a lady, me and my wife. Helped a lady out about 3 weeks ago. She was in a car. She's bad off. She admitted to us. She's a crack addict. Bad shape. But like always, I mean, I'll be honest with you, brother. She's sitting back in the car, right? She's in a mess. She's about half lit, all right. And she's in the car. We're driving her someplace she wanted to go. And you know, she keeps talking. You know, she's going on and on. And brother, I'll be honest with you. I thought, Lord, I'm not even going to bring you up unless you open the door because it's the same old stuff all the time. So she opened, so the door got open. And so, honestly, brethren, I was like, so I start talking about, she's saved. She's saved. But honestly, it sounds like she wants to beat your head against the wall almost. She said, I'm saved. I said, all right, you know. So now you got to get her lost. She said, get her lost, but you know what I mean. You got to show her she's lost. That's a fact. He said, well, she could be saved, brethren. I know people get in a mess, but this woman, I know she. So anyway, she's going on and on and everything. And we start talking about. She says, well, I need help. I said, Miss So and So, you need to tell God how wicked you are. I'm not wicked.
Yeah.
She said, I'm not wicked. I said, yeah, you are. I said, you're wicked. I said, I'm better than you, and I'm bad. I said, I'm better than you. That's the truth. I said, I'm better than you. I said, I ain't the mess you're in. I said, I read my Bible. You don't read your Bible. Now, you understand where I'm coming from, brother. You understand.
Right.
You understand. You know, I'm trying to help her see. I knew it through her back. But I said, I had to see what I was. I'm bad. I'm wicked. I said, only good in me is Jesus Christ. I said, but you know what? I read my Bible, go to church, and try to be right with my family. I said, I'm better than you are. I said, if you compare me and you, I'm better than you. I said, I'm hell bad about Jesus Christ. But you know what? She said, I'm not wicked. I said, you're wicked. And I said, you know what? You're headed for hell. I'm not going to hell. She said, I don't deserve hell. But she's saved. You see. And then she asked before we got out, she asked my wife. She said, is he telling the truth? And she said, yeah, he's telling the truth. He's telling the truth. But you see, that's the thing, brother. Somebody has got her and told her and fed her this thing and got her a profession, and they've never dealt with her sin. And she's not dealt with her sin. And she's saved. She's going to heaven. But she can get a crack at it and do all this and do all the other, but she's not wicked. No, she's not wicked. And she don't deserve hell. It's sad, people. It's so sad because, look here, I'm telling you, every Tom, Dick, and Harry, they're saved under the Lord. But you ask them about yourself, no, they're not. I don't deserve hell. I'm not that bad. Good night, brother. Every day I'm saved, I realize how bad I am. It's all Jesus Christ. It's all Him. I'm amazed He puts up with me. I mean, brother, you know what I'm saying? I mean, come on, compare me and you with the rest of the world. You know what I'm saying? We're trying to read our Bible. We come to church tonight. We're trying to... Brother, we're far better than they are. You know what I mean? And yet we know we're bad, man. We're bad.
Right.
So, you see what I'm saying, brother? That's that people have got to see what they are.
Right.
And they don't want to see that. They do not want to see that. So what we've got... God help us, is a bunch of bastards across this land. According to the Bible, that's the Bible term. We've got a bunch of bastards running across this land. And that's the Bible term. And brethren, and the thing with it is, what you've got to do is, by God's grace and help, help them to see their self. And you say, Brother Oswald, what if they don't want to see it? Then guess what? They don't see it, they go to hell. We don't want that. But you, what are you going to do? You can't do nothing about it other than show them. But if a person says no to the Lord Jesus Christ, you can't do anything about that. You know, we got to get them to that point. We've got to get to that point where they got to face themselves. But they got some decisions to make. And the decision ain't, I receive Jesus Christ. That's not the decision. The decision is me and my sin, and am I willing to turn from that and turn to God through Christ? Look here. I'll say this to you, brethren. To go back to John, I mean, Proverbs 15 just a minute. Proverbs 15. Ah, brethren. Proverbs 15, verse 12. A scorner loveth not one that reproveth him, neither will he go unto the wise. I want to say this to you. The scorner won't come to church, won't read his Bible, won't commune with himself. Amen. Who says? It says, a scorner loveth not one that reproveth him, neither will he go to the wise, unto the wise. So most time we think of a scorner, somebody says, God, heaven, hell, man, get out of that stuff. Brother, I'm going to tell you something. A lot of professing Christians are scorners according to the Bible definition. The Bible says, the scorner loveth not one that reproveth him, neither will he go to the wise, A scorner won't come to church. I don't care if they say they're saved or not, but I don't care if they are saved or not. If they don't come to church, they're a scorner. According to the Bible definition, part of the Bible definition here. They won't come to church, they won't pray, they won't read their Bible. They won't go unto the wise. Man, you get them under the church, man. The church is the pillar and ground of the truth. That's where you can get wisdom. The Bible, of course, you get wisdom. You go to God in prayer. If they won't do these things, brother, that's the attitude of a scorner. All right? And they won't commune with herself. Someone's put it this way. I thought it was pretty good. Listen to this. Someone years and years, way long time ago, said this. That man's case is sad who is afraid of being acquainted. That man's case is sad who is afraid of being acquainted and of arguing with himself.
Amen, brother.
That is pretty good. Somebody way back said that, and that's pretty good. Said, that man's case is sad who is afraid of being acquainted with himself and of arguing with himself. No problem. You deal with yourself, man. You gotta sit there and buck up and like, okay, now, you know, and take it. You know, and look at yourself. And brother, look here. Why do you think people stay so busy?
Amen, brother.
They cannot be still. Amen. Brother, see, there's a problem when people, save off whatever, can't be still long enough to think and meditate on their self and commune with their own. There's a problem.
Amen, brother.
People stay busy because, brethren, they don't want to know their self. So you know how it is. You know how it is. You get alone and you got to deal with some things about yourself, brother. Look here. I mean, I'll tell you right now. You go out here and do something you shouldn't have done. It ain't got to be real bad. Just something you shouldn't have said or done or whatever like that. You know what? You do not want to get alone with yourself. You want to stay busy. And you will find busy work to do. The problem of it is, if the devil can get you to keep it up, weeks, days, months, weeks will pass by and your condition gets worse. Alright? You see, what happens, brethren, we get ashamed and we don't want to go ahead and just come to the Lord and get it under His blood and say, Lord, and the Lord's like, that's what I shed my blood for. I'm wanting you to come to me. But brethren, you know what will happen? You go and do something like that. Maybe on the job, maybe in the day, or maybe at home, you say you do something you shouldn't have done, and you know what? Because you don't want to deal with it and you're ashamed of yourself, you get busy. Hopping and popping and moving, you know, and a lot of busy work. You want to get still. Because when you get still, God says, you did wrong. And you need to make it right, and you come to me and say you're sorry. And, you know, and we're so stubborn. We'll do that. Or we listen to the lies of the devil. The devil says, what's the use of you coming and getting it right? What's the use? We listen to his lies. When brethren, we just need to say, listen, Jesus Christ, Peter's come to Jesus one time and said, Lord, how many times a day should my brother sin against me and I forgive him? 7 times. I guess Peter thought he was being real gracious. Yeah. Lord said, no. Not 70, not 70 times 7. I think it was after that they said, Lord, increase our faith. But do you think the Lord's going to put a standard on you that He's not going to exceed and go beyond? What I'm saying is, I did the same thing yesterday. Well, come again for forgiveness. Come again for cleansing. Come again for cleansing. What the devil wants you to do is to not want to deal with yourself, not want to acquaint yourself with yourself and argue with yourself and get it dealt with, so he can keep you back from the throne of grace. Remember, I've said this before. What does the Bible say in Hebrews? That we may come boldly to the throne of grace to find grace and help in time of need. Remember, the Bible says in Hebrews about coming boldly to find grace to help in time of need. Does anybody in this room not need grace? Every one of us does. We need to get it from God. You can't make it in this life without grace and help from God. You know how you get it? The Bible says come boldly. So what does the devil do? Keep you timid. You see what I'm saying? The devil wants you to approach timidly. Lord, I wish you would... You know, that's unbelief. God wants us to say, you accept my word, you believe what I did, my blood paid the price for it, you get things right with me, get it under my blood, come on and get some grace from me. Come boldly and get some help from me. The devil wants you timidly kept back. Guess how he timidly keeps you back? You do something wrong, you're ashamed of it, and he gets on you, and gets on you, gets on you, and you avoid getting his presence, and you don't get that grace to help in time of need. Because you're ashamed of yourself. And you don't want to face yourself. Man, deal with it. That's what he shares his blood for. Get it confessed, get it right, and come boldly and get that grace. You know what will happen? You'll cripple yourself. Day after day, year after year, month after month. Brother, time clicks by. It's tick, 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 tick. Have you ever noticed, brother? Have you ever noticed how if you don't get something done, have you ever had a to-do list or something you want to get done, and you think, well, I'll get it. And man, sometimes a year goes by and it ain't done. You ever seen that? Have you ever seen where there's something you aim to do, maybe fix around the house or something like that, and honestly, it's on your mind, and then week, month, day, year goes by? That's blown my mind. Let me tell you something. Did you realize that spiritual things are the same way? You don't get something dealt with, and things aren't like it. You have a year gone by, and there's not been a fellowship with God like it should have been. You're like, how could this have happened? It happens. Procrastination and things not dealt with and not communing with yourself and getting things, the time will click, 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 bye. Take your Bible, a couple of scriptures more to look at. We're about done. Go to Proverbs 18. Proverbs 18, verse 2. Proverbs 18, verse 2. A fool hath no delight in understanding. Why? But that his heart may discover itself. He don't know the truth about himself. If you don't know the truth about yourself, you're in trouble. Take your Bible, go to Psalm 77. Psalm 77, verse 6. Look what David, or Asaph says. Psalm 77, verse 6. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with mine own heart, and my spirit may diligent search. There you go. You need to commune with your heart. Hey, brother, I'm not saying that sometimes you can't sit down at the house and you know, if you've done your Bible reading, done like you should, you know, read a little book or something, or do something for, you know, just a little pleasure looking at another. But you also know, sometimes you know why you'll pick a book up? Because you don't want to deal with yourself. You know, sometimes while you work on that project, you don't deal with yourself. You know, sometimes it's like, you know, I need to get that thing done. Yeah, I need to. You know why you're doing that? Because you don't want to deal with yourself. You don't want to be still and deal with yourself and commune with your own heart. Man, just go ahead, get it dealt with, get it under your blood, get that grace for it, and go on. But time will clip by. It'll clip by, clip by. Be honest with yourself. Desire to know the truth about yourself. In closing, go to Psalm 141. Psalm 141. I was going to look at some things that you used to reprove by, but I think we need to stay the way we're going here. Psalm 141, verse 5. We're going to close with this. Look what David said. Psalm 141, verse 5. The Bible says this. David said this. Psalm 141, verse 5. Let the righteous smite me. Wow. He's a sicko, ain't he? He's sadistic. How about that? Let the righteous smite me. How is insane? How did psychology deal with that? Let the righteous smite me. Look at this. It shall be a kindness. And let him reprove me. It shall be an excellent oil, which shall not break my head. For yet my prayer also shall be in their calamities. Wow. Wow. That's something. Boy, that'd be a good thing, wouldn't it? Wouldn't that be the attitude to have? Lord, let the righteous smite me. Lord, let them reprove me. Let me, God, I'll take it. Lord, I'll take it. And wouldn't it be something to have the attitude of, if someone reproves you, receive it, and then pray, ask God to bless them for doing it? Wow. Pretty good. Yeah, but you know, I don't know what you're saying, but you know, people with their attitudes and yeah, you are going to be miserable. You're going to be miserable. but they reproved me. I know what you're saying. Maybe what they said was truthful, right? But they weren't right. What's that God do with them? Why don't you pray for them? What's that God do with them? God take care of them. If they need a basin, call a basin. But the bottom line is what they reproved you over true? Is it true? Brother McCare, I pray there'd be no lost scorner in here, or any lost scorner listening to this tape who would keep away from the Lord because they don't want their sin dealt with. Man, you take that route, it's hell at the end. I pray there'd be no saved person that would fit this criteria and dodge and duck from reproof rather than receiving it, being thankful for it, and letting it be a help to you and make you better off. Father, we thank you for this. Lord, help us, dear God, to take these scriptures to our heart. And Lord, help us to be honest with ourselves. Oh, Father, help us to commune with our own heart. Help us, Lord, to be honest with ourselves. Oh, Father, help me, dear God, to be honest with myself. Lord, help us to not fool ourselves, deceive ourselves, kid ourselves. And Father, help us to make